Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 565. I'm Amy Matheny, and wow, we have had a little bit of turn in the weather here. Pretty glorious, sunshiny into the week, and I'm heading into this week. I don't know. The sun makes me feel a little better when the sun kicks out. It's still cold, guys, but the sun kicking out makes me happy, and I'm trying to feel like we're in springtime in Chicago. I don't know. I'm trying to feel it. I'm like clicking my red ruby slippers and believing there's no place like home, because Chicago, you have been a hard lover this winter, I got to tell you. But one of the things that makes me happy about spring is all the things that start happening. First of all, we're kicking off Windy City Gay Idol, the 12th year. We are in a baker's dozen. Our 12th year of the Windy City Gay Idol kicks off April 6th at the SoFo Tap. And this year, we're going to be giving somebody who is crowned the 2014 Windy City Gay Idol is going to win $1,000 cash, a trip on American Airlines to Curacao. That's right. The island of Curacao, beautiful, beautiful Caribbean island, very LGBT friendly. And also lots of Smirnoff merchandise and theater and concert tickets and much, much more. A stay at the Thompson Hotel downtown, which is fabulous. I just went there for cocktails a couple of Sundays ago, and it's a lovely lobby for brunch. I can do brunch at Nico Osteria and then go to the wonderful restaurant there, and then go across the lobby and hang out. It's not really a scene, but a fun scene. That's what I can say. And much, much more. So first, you got to come. You got to get some friends with you. You got to pick out a great song and come sing at one of our 10 preliminary events. So you place to be at our big semifinals, which will happen at Sidetrack again this year on Saturday, June 16th. And then the big finals again this year at the main stage in Rogers Park. We packed the joint last year, and it's fabulous because you can sit down at cabaret tables and drink and eat and watch the show on June 25th, Wednesday, between Pride Fest and Pride Parade weekends, right there smack dab in the middle. And it is a great, great time. We had such a fun show this year, but you got to compete now to win and hopefully win the whole thing on June 25th. Also, it's a big time for theater. This week, please pick up the Windy City Times or download the Windy City Times Theater Spring issue. The Spring Theater and Arts issue is out this week. And man, I mean, all these small and large theaters in Chicago who do such amazing work. And I'm working on a show right now, which is going to be running in April and May, which I'm really excited about, called Cicada. And I'll be talking about that here in upcoming weeks. But our good friends at About Face Theater and also Silk Road Rising Theater Company are co-producing a show that is so exciting. One of my buddies, Fazia Mirza, is performing and starring in this show. And she's going to be on with me today. And some of you guys may know her from the other Kardashian, Kam Kardashian web series. So it's going to be fun. We're going to have Fozzie on the show and much, much more. So, all right. I hope you're basking somewhere with some vitamin D, that the clouds have parted, and maybe this week, still this March spring week, you can find a little bit of sunshine and hope and good cheer. Chicago, we're trying to love you, but I appreciate you all being with me while you try to do that. So let's break and tell you what's going on in the GLBT news and theater. And then we'll be back with Fazia here on the Queercast.
I'm Kurt Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper has come out in support of gay marriage. The Democrat has been a vocal backer of gay rights, but generally stopped short of formally endorsing same-sex marriage. However, he recently provided a statement in support of marriage equality in Colorado. In 2006, Colorado voters banned same-sex marriage.
Four same-sex couples and Wyoming Equality filed a lawsuit in state court in Cheyenne challenging Wyoming's laws that ban same-sex couples from marrying and refuse to recognize the legal marriages of same-sex couples who married in other states. Many of the plaintiffs were born and raised in Wyoming.
Get Equal Mississippi, an organization working toward the full equality of LGBT Mississippians, issued a travel alert to any LGBT person planning travel to the state. This alert has been issued based on the fact that Mississippi is on the cusp of passing Senate Bill 2681. The so-called Mississippi Religious Freedom Restoration Act. The alert advises LGBT out-of-towners to avoid traveling alone in the state and to only stay at hotels that ban discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity, among other tips.
Transgender athlete Chloe Johnson is suing CrossFit over not allowing her to compete as a woman in the CrossFit Games. In the $2.5 million lawsuit against the company, she says that since she has undergone gender reassignment surgery and is recognized as a woman in her home state of California, she should be allowed to compete as a woman.
In Santa Fe, New Mexico, Javier Gonzalez defeated his two opponents to become the city's first openly gay mayor. Gonzalez, a 47-year-old vice president of a commercial real estate firm, will preside over a city council on which two of the eight members are openly gay women, mayoral opponent Patty Bushy and newly elected Signe Lindell.
Chicago's Boys Town may undergo a big upgrade that could include anything from a series of new restaurants to unique and innovative lighting displays as official plans to transform North Halsted Street. It's being dubbed the North Halsted 2020 Development Plan, a vision for what the future of the Lakeview community could look like.
Four Indiana same-sex couples filed a federal lawsuit on May 7th in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Indiana to challenge the state law banning marriage equality.
A Texas school district agreed to pay $77,500 to settle a privacy suit filed by a mother who claimed two high school softball coaches outed her daughter as a lesbian. Barbara Wyatt sued the Kilgore Independent School District and two coaches from Kilgore High School in 2010 and said she didn't know that her daughter, now 21, was a lesbian until the coaches confronted her about an alleged relationship.
The City Council in Kansas City, Missouri, voted in favor of a resolution calling for an end to statewide discrimination against the LGBT community by supporting the Missouri Non-Discrimination Act, or MONA. This measure was approved unanimously. If passed, MONA would add sexual orientation and gender identity to Missouri's human rights statute, which already protects such categories as race, biological sex, and familial status.
Former Puerto Rico State Senator Roberto Arango has publicly announced he's gay. In resigning from his post 3 years ago in the wake of a gay sex scandal, Arango, a Republican with a record of supporting anti-gay legislation, blamed his enemies for his downfall and said that he was taking nude photos of himself to document his weight loss.
In Port Bolivar, Texas, authorities believe a black lesbian couple was murdered. Crystal Jackson, age 24, was a mother to a five-year-old girl. Her girlfriend, Brittany Cosby, was also 24. They were a couple for 2 years. Jackson was a security guard, and Cosby worked at Starbucks. Their bodies were found next to a convenience store dumpster.
The IRS released a new YouTube video designed to provide useful tax tips to married same-sex couples. The video, which is fewer than 2 minutes long, is the latest addition to an online library featuring short IRS instructional videos covering more than 100 topics, ranging from tips for victims of identity thefts to taking advantage of the new simplified home office deduction. See IRS.gov.
United Methodist Bishop Martin McLee and Reverend Dr. Thomas W. Ogletree announced that the church was dropping the case against Ogletree for officiating at his son's wedding. Furthermore, McLee said, "I call for and commit to cessation of trials." The first time ever a sitting United Methodist bishop has categorically declared he will not prosecute pastors for ministering to LGBTQ people.
A federal appeals court has scheduled May arguments on Virginia's constitutional ban on same-sex marriages. The 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals outlined a schedule that will expedite the case to the Richmond Court, with briefs scheduled for later this month. The 4th Circuit will hear appeals of a federal judge's ruling declaring the state's ban on same-sex marriages unconstitutional.
The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit set April 9 for oral arguments in Sevick versus Sandoval, a lawsuit challenging Nevada's marriage ban. The lawsuit has 8 same-sex couples challenging Nevada's law banning marriage for same-sex couples and argues that barring same-sex couples from marriage violates the due process and equal protection clauses of the U.S. Constitution.
In world news, Sweden will be stopping all development aid to Uganda over the new anti-gay law. Sweden's international aid minister has condemned the recently passed legislation in Uganda punishing gay people with life in jail. Sweden said it would also maintain subsidies to civil society organizations.
The Dalai Lama has come out in support of gay marriage, saying it was okay and a personal affair for people of the same sex to commit to each other. Ultimately, the Dalai Lama, who, like all Tibetan monks, is celibate himself, said same-sex marriage was up to each government and was ultimately individual business.
4 young men were convicted of gay sex and whipped publicly as punishment in an Islamic court in northern Nigeria. The 4 were among dozens caught in a wave of arrests after Nigeria buttressed its criminal penalties for homosexuality with the new Same-Sex Marriage Prohibition Act in January. The men could face further violence in prison if human rights organizations do not come up with an additional fine of 20,000 naira, or $120, a judge assessed to each of the men.
The global telecom company Orange has withdrawn advertising from a Ugandan tabloid newspaper that printed the names of 200 suspected gay people after a severe anti-gay law was enacted last month. Orange, a subsidiary of France Telecom, reportedly made the decision after more than 77,000 of its members petitioned the company to remove the advertisements with the newspaper Red Pepper.
In entertainment news, more than 15,000 women from all over the world are once again expected to gather in Palm Springs, California, to attend the Club Skirt Dinosaur Weekend April 2nd through the 6th. Events include pool parties, nightlife, celebrity appearances, live performances, a film festival, and a celebrity poker tournament.
Queen and Adam Lambert will launch a North American summer tour starting at the United Center in Chicago Thursday, June 19th, as well as other dates in New York, Los Angeles, Toronto, Dallas, Vegas, Montreal, and other cities.
Gay statistician Nate Silver's new ESPN-backed website, 538.com, is back with his data-driven style of journalism that made him popular with the New York Times readers. He will continue covering political polling, but will broaden his focus to include sports and entertainment.
Michael Sam, who will become the first openly gay athlete to play in the NFL when he is drafted later this year, announced on Twitter that he is now selling rainbow-colored merchandise on his website to promote his new brand. A portion of those proceeds will reportedly benefit at-risk youth in the St. Louis area.
Gay network Here TV announced the television premiere of From Here on Out, the network's first ever original sitcom. The six-episode series, which debuts March 28th, stars Emmy winner Juliette Mills. From Here on Out centers on the adventures of aging gay writer Jimmy Randall as he tries to get his dream project made into a TV series.
Openly gay Swedish soccer player Anton Heisen has signed up with the Myrtle Beach Mutiny, a South Carolina team that competes in the National Premier Soccer League for the 2014 season. Heisen continues to blaze a trail in U.S. soccer, started by Robbie Rogers, who made history last May when he became the first openly gay Major League Soccer player signing with the Los Angeles Galaxy.
And Game of Thrones actor Christian Nairn has revealed he's gay. The revelation stems from questions regarding the bear community's appreciation for his portrayal of burly strongman Hodor, protector of the young prince, Bran Stark. While Nairn considers being gay only a small part of his identity, he does understand the importance of coming out. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, you're listening to Lucy Lawless on Windy City Queercast with my favorite girl, Amy.
Culture Club, Culture Club, Culture Club. Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
Kaweez!
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of March 17th, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Escape Ordinary, Experience Extraordinary. Giordano Dan Chicago's spectacular 51st season continues March 28th and 29th at the Harris Theater. Giordano Dan Chicago's electrifying performances includes a world premiere by resident choreographer Autumn Ekman, featuring live performance from the 26 singers of Chicago's Bella Voce, Tal, to a blend of Indian and jazz rhythms with live vocals by Chicago's own Sheetal Heinert, as well as audience favorites. Get your tickets at harristheaterchicago.org. Giordano Dance Chicago, March 28th and 29th at the Harris Theater.
525,600 minutes. Spend 150 of them at the Paramount Theater in Aurora, and it will change your life. Rent is playing now at the Paramount Theater through April 6th. It's the theater that critics are calling the real Broadway in Chicago. Tickets for Rent are on sale now at ParamountAurora.com. That's ParamountAurora.com. Don't miss Rent.
Lifeline Theater proudly presents a world premiere adaptation of Charles Dickens' legendary classic, A Tale of Two Cities. This epic tale of resurrection and redemption runs Thursdays through Sundays. For tickets to A Tale of Two Cities and more, visit lifelinetheater.com. A Tale of Two Cities is playing now through April 6th.
Raven Theater in Edgewater invites listeners to join them for Out at Raven, a wine and cheese reception just before a performance of Good Boys and True, this Friday, March 21st. Call Raven Theater 773-338-2177 or visit raventheater.com for more details. That's Out at Raven, Friday, March 21st.
It's a comedy about history, mythology, gender roles, and high school. Join About Face Theater and Silk Road Rising as they present Brahman E, a one Yidra stand-up comedy show by Aditi Brennan Kapil, directed by AFT Artistic Director Andrew Volkoff, and featuring Fauzia Mirza. Tickets at AboutFaceTheater.com, playing March 27th through April 27th at Silk Road Rising in the historic Chicago Temple Building. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueercast.com.
Come on, lift your spirits. what it seems. Is a friend someone who drops in or a face on a telephone screen? When my chips are down and I'm feeling low, who I'm supposed to call? Who gonna help me stand on my feet after I fall? So ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls, this one goes
Fawzia Mirza is starring in the Chicago premiere of Brahmani, a one Hejra stand-up comedy show brought to town by About Face Theater and Silk Road Rising. And many GLBT fans, web fans especially, know her from the web series she produces, writes, and stars in, because she's an overachiever, Kam Kardashian, about the Kardashians' long-lost lesbian sister. So I am just thrilled to have Fawzia on the Queercast, because we haven't been able to sit down and giggle and catch up almost since we did Scrooge and Marley, about 2 years ago. So I'm excited to talk to her about this new show and then some other stuff she has on the horizon. Hey, Fawzia, how are you?
Hi, how are you, Amy? So good to be here and chat with you.
Yeah, I mean, thank you, because I know you're pushing to first previews, and I know how tiring that can get here at the end of the process, which is really just the beginning, right, where we get to come and see it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, and we still have, I'm heading to rehearsal, but yeah, we're almost there. We're almost at previews, and it's exciting. I'm looking forward to it. We open, our official press opening is April 3rd.
Yep.
And it's great. It's my first time working with About Face, and I'm having a really great time and so glad to be doing the show.
Well, wonderful. And so, I mean, the cool thing for people who may not know, who aren't in the Chicagoland area, About Face Theater Company is a world class, and at one time was the nation's largest LGBT focused theater company in the United States. That was back in the 90s, and now there are luckily more LGBT theater companies around the U.S., but really About Face was one of the pioneers. And Silk Road Rising, I know you've been involved with them. Tell people about their mission a little bit, and what is the work that they do, and why these two companies would be coming together on this project.
Silk Road Rising, formerly known as Silk Road Theater Project, they are a company that formed after post 9/11, and they realized that Jamil Hori and Malik Galani, the two founders of the company, realized that there was no one telling the stories of, you know, Arabs and Muslims, and obviously post 9/11 there was a lot of backlash and anger and animosity and fear about these groups of people. So they formed a company that their mission is to tell stories that originate along the Silk Road, which aren't just stories, Arab stories. They're stories from, you know, as far west as Italy, and as far east as, you know, obviously like China and Japan, and obviously including India, South Asia, and many, many countries in between.
Right.
And you know, one of their missions is to bring these stories to the stage, and this is their first collaboration with another company. And what I love about it is it just seems so natural that that collaboration would happen on the show that I'm doing with About Face and Silk Road, which is called Brahmani. And I love that it's this sort of this duality. The show is about dualities, and you have these two different companies coming together whose missions both feed into the story of the show.
Yeah. Before we talk about the show, and I definitely want to, tell me where you're from, where you were born, and what cultural influences you were raised in.
Well, don't hold this against me, but I am proudly Canadian.
Mm-hmm. I love the Canadians, or as my co-host Mitchell Fain says, Canadian equals lesbian. So you fit in perfectly.
Oh, indeed.
He goes, do you mean Canadian-Canadian or Canadian-lesbian? That's what he always says to me.
Well, I would say that if you met my mother and said that, she'd be like, no, I'm not a Canadian lesbian.
She'd say, no, I'm not a Canadian at all.
I was born in Canada.
Yeah.
And so that's where I was born. I was born in Ontario, and then I lived out east in Nova Scotia, which is sort of like Canadian Maine.
Uh-huh.
And didn't move to the States until I was almost 16. Mm-hmm. And we moved to like this little town in Indiana, which was I wasn't very excited about it. Let's just say that. I was like, where are we going? Are we going to India or Indiana? And it was Indiana.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how I came to be on American soil.
Yeah.
Now a proud citizen of all the countries.
Yes.
Went to college in Indiana, and I moved to Chicago actually for law school, if you can believe that.
Right.
And I dabbled in that for a little while, and then I thought, hey, you know what? Who needs to have a steady living and earn steady income? Why don't I just be a struggling actor on a lawyer's debt? Like that sounds like a really fun time.
A new trail.
Right. Yeah. My trail is new and brown. That's and Canadian, littered with Canadian flecks of lesbians.
So you're talking, though, before we even get to sexuality, you're talking about an identity of being in very white places, it feels like to me. Like, I mean, not India, Indiana. And you even said Nova Scotia is like the Canadian Maine. I mean, let's just go like Wonder Bread white. So how was that for you growing up in those environments?
You are correct to say that it was very white, very Christian. And, you know, I grew up, I'm Pakistani, I was raised Muslim. So I was always the only non-white kid. And there really weren't any black people there either. So it was me. And, I mean, I remember once this friend of mine, she gave me a Christmas present because I didn't celebrate Christmas, and she gave me a Rainbow Bright doll, but she didn't give me like the main Rainbow Bright doll, like Rainbow Bright. She gave me the black Rainbow Bright friend, you know, because that was the only non-white Rainbow Bright doll. So it's like, okay, you kind of, that's what it was like.
Right.
It was definitely, I grew up not really being surrounded by people who look like me or people who ate food like me or dressed like the clothes I have. And, you know, I didn't celebrate Christmas. There was me and like this Jehovah's Witness girl. That was it. We were the only two who were different.
Right.
And you grew up wanting to be like the majority.
Yes.
So it was definitely tough. So, you know, my mom, it was my mom's job, I guess, to be the ambassador of all things not white
and Christian. Okay, so
white
then let's
Christian.
Throw into the mix, and I love doing this, especially with my lady friends of color who happen to be queer. So now you discover you're queer. How did you come? How and when did you come to know that? And throw that into the mix of growing up.
Yeah, it's sort of like, it's like we're baking a pie. We're
the
like,
trifecta, sort of, right? That's what I call it when we talk about it.
Well, that actually happened, you know, much later on here in Chicago. And, you know, I like to joke about the fact that, you know, growing up in a strict sort of Muslim household, my mom used to tell me, you know, well, you can't hang out with boys. You know, you can't go out with boys. You can't go to prom.
Yes.
You can't be the, you know, go on dates with them. You can't date anybody. And so the only people I was allowed to hang out with were girls.
Right.
So I did.
Right. There you go.
So I'm like, Mom, I did what you told me to do.
Careful what you wish for, Mom. Careful what you wish for.
It was actually the one rule I was following.
Yes.
Actually when I moved to Chicago and it was a big change for me living alone, kind of going through law school, kind of being in this more like city environment and seeing all the possibilities of who I could be and who I am. Mm-hmm. I like to, you know, and yeah, I just started kind of going out a little bit more and going to my first gay bars and, you know, with guy friends and seeing what's going on, like what's lurking behind the corners. And you're like, oh no, there's nothing bad. This is just cool and fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, kind of started dating a little bit here and there, dabbling in ladiness.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that this feels really good to me. And, you know, I don't really use the phrase a lot coming out because I feel like to me, I don't know, it doesn't mean the same thing, I guess, as it does in maybe in the Western tradition. Like, to me, I'm like, well, what am I going to come out about? Am I going to come out about drinking? Am I going to come out about, like, wearing dresses sometimes? Am I going to come out about, like, hooking up with people? Like, so there's so many things that are not part of, like, my family's knowledge base, I guess, or things that I don't share with them. So this is just, this is one of the things that that make me who I am. But, yeah. You know, was not part of their world, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's just coming into yourself and coming into your own. And I think so many of us can relate to that, you know, of, in a weird way, your story's not unlike my story, you know, of growing up in East Tennessee and growing up in a very religious, conservative environment, and also being told of how I needed to be around boys and, you know, and going to summer camps for girls. And it's a good, you know. It makes for a lot of really interesting source material, I'm assuming, for you, and also makes for a lot of comedy.
Indeed.
You are a great storyteller and a great comedian, so relatable and so willing to bear yourself in much of your work that I've seen. So it's exciting that you're getting this opportunity. This Bromini, it's a one person show?
It is a one person show, and obviously it's labeled that way. There is another performer on stage. His character's name is Jay. He's played by a guy named Damian Conrad Davis, who's a really lovely guy, and he's playing live bass at intervals. So he's
great.
If you're going into this as a I'm going to see a stand-up comedy show. Have the performer, and then you have the live bass, kind of like
gotcha.
The line from the show is playing bass at arbitrary intervals.
There you go. So what is a hijra?
A hijra is a South Asian term used to refer to individuals who are either trans or eunuchs or intersex, and can often even be used as a catch-all category by people to refer to people who are kind of outliers and queer in general.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will say, you know, in culturally in India, oftentimes when someone refers to a hijra in India, they're often referring to people who identify as trans.
Okay.
But the term definitely encompasses more different groups of people. And, you know, in America and in the West, a hijra can be anybody. Anybody who can be, you know, identifying as South Asian queer person.
Okay. And so In what is the structure of the show? I mean, I don't want you to give away the whole thing, but I hear that you're portraying a lot of different characters. Are each one of these characters stand-up comedians, or tell us kind of how the structure of the show works and some of the characters that we meet in this piece?
The show, yeah, there are a lot of characters. I think my last count was 54.
Oh my gosh. What? I didn't expect that number. Did you hear me gasp?
That being said, it's not as though each of these characters you meet is fleshed out as the character, as the main character is. Sometimes, okay. You know, for me, it was a great way just to kind of like identify all the different places I'm going to be. For me, counting them was a map of sorts.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes, you know, in everyday storytelling, we'll use a voice, and that's a character in our story. Mm-hmm. So if you count all the different people that you encounter in any one of your stories, you might have many more than you realize.
Right.
So some of these characters are much more defined that we see at different times through different stories. Some of them we meet once and very briefly. And the story is, it's essentially a 90-minute show. It's the character of B, or Brahmani, Brahman, Brahmani, them, because, you know, when you see the show, they do identify as an intersex person who is both male and has both male and female genitalia.
Okay.
So you meet them, and they are telling you stories about their life, and they talk about being in high school and being an adult, but the high school stuff is so fascinating because you hear them talk about the first time they, you know, when their experiences of being in high school where people are kind of giving them a hard time about growing breasts for the first time mm-hmm. and what that is like. And you also hear a lot of stories about bees' interactions with their mother and their father and their aunt, their auntie, who is a really important character in Bee's life. Then you also get to hear stories of how Bee's worldview of South Asia and the history of British colonization of South Asia and of mythology and of Hindu stories specifically connected to, like, the Ramayana. And it's really this, like, life story in many ways of this character packed together in this one 90-minute act.
Wow.
There's definitely some surprises, and obviously, but it's a really, what I love about what the playwright Aditi has done is she has told this story of duality and multiplicity of identity and gender and orientation and of history and of race and put it into this comedy act. And one of the things I love about comedy is that, you know, we as people, I don't know about you, Amy, I'm sure we have similar stories, but, like, for me, when I was a kid, comedy was a way of, like, self-defense. And it was a way of, you know, I was like this pudgy little husky kid, brown husky kid with, like, a hairy upper lip and big furry eyebrows. So, you know, I used to use comedy as a way to, like, make people like me and sort of counter the other feelings I had, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I love is that sometimes comedy is a great way of kind of, like, transcending everything else and everyone else around you that doesn't feel good and owning who you are.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting too, right? Because, I mean, comedy is a great thing to break down barriers and break down walls.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that that's kind of the mission too of Silk Road and About Face, is to illuminate the human experience of perhaps people or cultures or others that you have deemed you don't identify with. And it's not about educating to me. It's, though that happens, it's about a reveal, right? It's about a revelation of our commonalities. Even though this play sounds like it's dealing so much with dualities, I think that's, you know, an even more interesting layer to what you're saying about this show.
Well, and I mean, there's dualities, but there is some, what I love about the show is Aditi wrote it in such a way that there is so much relatability. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't have to be South Asian or an intersex person to feel that, oh my God, I can relate to that really embarrassing moment that happened to me in middle school. Like, oh my God, I hate thinking about that. But, like, here we are, this person's thinking about it, and now I am too. Like, oh my God, we look at how much we have in common. So there is that shared experience and that commonality. And and what I love, like you said, like, you get to find it in unexpected places. And it's such a way to bridge communities, bridge people, bridge identities, and create dialogue and get people talking and thinking and laughing together and realizing that, like, this community is so much more diverse and rich and complex and beautiful than we even knew.
Yeah. I mean, it is a tall order to hold a play for 90 minutes. I mean, you know, A normal stand-up set, and maybe 20 minutes, you know, and if that would even be a, you know, a feature. And unless you are, like, one of the, you know, really big comedians like Ellen or Wanda Sykes or, you know, or somebody like that who's holding the mic there for a whole hour and selling a big play. So, you know, that is a really tall order. But I got to say, you have been flexing your muscles and strengthening and honing your skills because you just do so much. I'm always so impressed with how just the amount of work and art and entertainment that you are churning out. I mean, I do want to shift gears just a little bit to talk a little bit about Kim Kardashian, because I've never had you on the Queercast before. And I want to read this quote from the Tribune, because I think it's just really speaks to what you have been doing. It says that plenty of comedy videos emanate from Chicago. Few, though, are as sharply produced as Kim Kardashian. It's a satire of pop culture and minority status. It's the kind of work that should get noticed outside of Chicago. And there's confidence in the work in this series that's evident, and that that these videos are far richer and more entertaining than the many reality series featuring the actual Kardashians. So that's from the Tribune, which is a rave. How did you have a web series, just for people who may not know, you have a web series that you created, Kim Kardashian. Tell our listeners, how did Kim Kardashian come about, and how many seasons, how long has this web series been going on?
Well, I had an audition one day and I had to do a couple characters. And so my friend was like, oh, yeah, I want to do a queer character. And so my friend was like, you should do a gay Kardashian. And so after that, I just, you know, it was just like started improvising bits and coming up with stuff. And really, at that point, doing the character for the audition wasn't really the point anymore. I was really excited to and this was, I guess, started 2 years ago, was to put the character into a setting and just, you know, make a little video and see what happens.
Right.
And
which they always tell you, you know, I mean, it was a few years ago, everybody was saying, well, just start a web series, do a web series. And a lot of people have, but a lot of people have not done this successfully like you. So I'm really interested in your story.
Well, it was the idea was really fun. And also, like, my, I guess, our approach to the whole thing was very much not necessarily making fun of the Kardashians, because, well, that's easy. That's what everybody else does. It was sort of looking at this character, really grounding all the characters in truth, in reality. So what if there was a gay Kardashian and she's living in Chicago? That's kind of funny. She's in the second city. Like, she'd probably be a little bit, like, she'd be able to get the girls, but she'd be kind of awkward in other places, because how does she make a living? She's kicked out of her family. Why did she get kicked out of the family? Well, she got kicked out because she was hooking up with Marcia Clark, who was the attorney on the opposite team during the O.J. Simpson trial, and her father was on the team. So it was like, uh-oh, she can't be cohorting with, you know, the other side. So she's kicked out, not for being gay, but for breaking those other rules.
Uh-huh.
And just kind of like, she likes to drink, she likes women, she likes to steal stuff, like Winona Ryder. And it was just really fun to really, like, invest into this person. And, you know, I started working with my dear friend and out filmmaker, collaborator, Ryan Logan. Mm-hmm. And but he brings, you know, so much to the table. I mean, he's, you know, we like to joke that, you know, our production house is basically just us sitting around a table with drinks.
Yeah.
Our DP has since moved to Australia, but she was such an essential part of it too. But Ryan writes as well. He directs, he edits, he does all the color correction, like a one-man post-production house. So I think one of our tricks was that we were able to do it with so few people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's possible in most situations. You could hire Ryan Logan because he's amazing. I trust him to always make me look beautiful and handsome at the same time. I think that was the key for us. And, you know, I just felt like I knew all these really funny, talented people in theater and in comedy and in sketch and in improv. And I just wanted to see them, to play with them. And
yeah.
So I just started asking people I like to play with me, you know, and one of the biggest compliments I think we ever got was one day on set, one of our production designer, Curtis Castle, he's like, Fazia, sometimes I think this is like Carol Burnett. You just invite all your cookie friends in Chicago to come play with you. And it's really, really fun. And I was like, damn, I will take that any day of the week. But you know, there's so much talent, and there's only so few roles that are still out there, whether in, you know, for in commercials or on TV or even in web series that are mainstream, or even the ones on Amazon or whatever, and a lot of them aren't shot here, they're shot elsewhere.
Yes.
So why not just make stuff for ourselves? And that was where I was coming from. And, you know, seeing a woman of color in the role of a protagonist, seeing maybe a non-TV type queer woman in that role as well,
mm-hmm.
And talking about minority issues as well was mm-hmm. so fun to do.
How many episodes are there? You're in your second season, right?
Yeah, the first season had 4. The second season, we're at about like 8 with these mm-hmm. minisodes in between. Mm-hmm. There's still one more episode to release with maybe like 1 or 2. And all the footage has been shot. It was all shot a while ago. We're just, you know, life happens and things roll out as needed. Or when they do. So, but yeah, we've gotten to work with like the Putterbuck sisters and Kenny Lawrence and Joel Kimbooster and my friend Malvin McCarr and Mary Hollis in Bowdoin. God, just to name a few. So
yeah.
it's just been really, really fun. And I don't know if there's, as of right now, we don't see a season 3 for Cam, unless somebody came in and said, "Hey there, I want to give you $100,000. Why don't you make Cam and put her on the TV, or even less than that. But for now, we're going to concentrate on doing, pushing some of the other projects that we're working on. She's going to be there. She'll just get a little older and drink a little more.
Yes. So you're also performing your own solo play. Tell me about that. And when is that premiering?
So that is a show that I wrote, which is much shorter than Aditi's and does not cover as much, or as I like to say that hers is so much better. It's much more better written. And I say it that way on purpose, obviously. But my show is called Me, My Mom, and Sharmila Tagore. And it's Sharmila Tagore is a famous Indian film actress. From her biggest films were from like the 60s and 70s, and she still comes in movies now in Bollywood, and she's kind of like the matriarch now of like a Bollywood film, Indian film dynasty.
Huh.
But
who would be like a Western equivalent for her?
She was a little Meryl Streepy, I guess, in some ways.
Okay.
But in the play, I used a line, maybe Olivia Wilde, maybe Beyonce, maybe Meryl Streep. Well, to me, Sharmila Tagore is like all those women but rolled into one. And maybe minus some of the Beyonce dance moves, but...
Yeah.
But
and when is that going to be on stage?
Well, it's... I just did it at UIC a couple weeks ago, recently.
Wow.
And it's actually being produced by this touring company I work with that I do another touring show with, but it's going to be coming to colleges, hopefully starting in the fall. And it may have a run in the summer in Chicago, but primarily it's going to be like a show geared towards the college market in the U.S. all over, which is really exciting. And it's about mothers in South Asia and relationships and identity.
I'm glad you got entirely off that lawyer track and got on this new path, because we all get to enjoy it and enjoy you and I hope that people will go out and check out Brahmani, a one Hejra stand-up comedy show, because what an amazing feat. I mean, to be taking on this show. It's directed by the About Face artistic director Andrew Volkoff, which is, I think this is his Chicago debut, maybe, I think. If not,
it is.
Debut
it
as
totally
AFT.
Is.
Yeah, AD. And just to come see this play that is going to play that's going to explore culture and gender and duality and so much. It's running March 27th in previews through April 27th at Silk Road Rising. That's at Pierce Hall at the historic Chicago Temple Building. Beautiful. Downtown 77 West Washington Street in Chicago. You can get your tickets, and we'll have this linked in our show notes at either the AboutFaceTheater.com site or SilkRoadRising.org site. And I'm just so thrilled to have you on. And people can find out about Kam Kardashian on your Kam Kardashian website, which is also, yep, we will link, KamKardashian.com. And I'm just going to say break legs. And
Thank you so much.
Thank you for telling these stories that don't often get told by characters who often don't have a voice. And you've got a good, strong, loud voice, especially behind a mic. So I'm excited about that.
I'm excited about that mic, too. I can't wait. Well, I'll see you at the show then, Amy. I can't wait. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Everyone go out and see Bromini, a one Hezra stand-up comedy show by About Face and Silk Road Rising here in Chicago. Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY. Everyone, have a wonderful, wonderful week. Get out and support Chicago theater this spring. It's a great thing to do before we can hit the beach and before we can really be out of doors all the time. March, April, May, great time. Go see a show. Chicago is the best city for theater in the United States and probably the world. So go and support some local theater in Chicago this week. Have a great week, everyone. And Miss Cleo coming back up on the Queercast in the upcoming weeks. I can't wait. I've missed her. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.